Hello everyone, and welcome to Biopedia. The Kiel Manifesto for Decolonizing the Curriculum, first released in May 2018, points out that our curricula do not represent global diversity and instead focus attention on a limited number of individuals from limited backgrounds. The manifesto calls for the decolonization of the curriculum. This includes recognizing that knowledge is the common property of humankind and increasing the inclusivity of taught material. The debate around colonial practices in biology is a topic for a later day in and of itself. However, an example of the focus on a Western narrative of biological history is that of a book by Charles Singer in 1950. Looking through the contents page presents a linear narrative from Aristotle and the classical West to later figures such as Paré and Haeckel. And no, we won't be going into detail on those figures or their contributions today. Those are probably topics for future episodes. Instead, I'm going to focus on the Islamic Golden Age, which stretches from the 700s to the 1300s. While searching for a topic outside of the Western narrative which I could tell, I stumbled across a topic via Wikipedia, citation in the description, which really caught my eye and which I felt I had to research in more depth and make an episode about. As such, we're going to discuss evolutionary theory in the Islamic Golden Age. It's noted that the efforts of Islamic scholars before Darwin are underrepresented in books on the subject of evolution or biological theory. The traditional narrative is that there wasn't any progress in scientific thinking for hundreds of years between the death of Galen and the 1200s. However, Islamic scholars were around, and it is noted that the implication is that these scholars were not actively involved in furthering anatomical studies, except by translating earlier works from Greek into Arabic and from there to tongues like Latin, so that the West could later build on this earlier work. However, they did have a role in evolutionary theory. A review published in 2018 notes 8 individuals who lived between the 8th and 15th centuries CE who were thinking about evolution. I'm not going to discuss all 8 for purposes of this episode, but I will go into a few in a bit more detail. I will say in advance that I'm not a native speaker of Arabic, so I'm likely to mispronounce some of the names. I apologise in advance. First up, we have Al-Jahiz, who lived in what is now Iraq and was alive from 776 to 868 CE. This medieval zoologist was noted for writing a tome called the Kitab al-Hayawan, in which he discussed evolution, particularly in relation to birds. Al-Jahiz is commonly noted as the earliest Islamic academic to suggest something like this. His efforts impacted scholarly thought in both the Islamic world and Europe, with Ibn Khaldun and Ibn Misqawai being speculated to have built on his work with their own contributions. Moreover, Al-Jahiz discussed the role that the environment plays in adaptation, with novel characteristics arising to fuel such adaptation. A significant distinction between Darwin's work and that of Al-Jahiz cited in the review is that Al-Jahiz explicitly incorporated divine agency into his model. Specifically, Al-Jahiz believed that evolution took place as mandated and steered by God in order to maintain the balance of nature. Al-Jahiz ascribed organisms an inherent wish to stay alive, which drove the survival of the fittest. He noted that the better adapted individuals of a species would come out on top in the contest for survival. There is more I could say about Al-Jahiz, but the final thing I will touch upon here is that he speculated on some first organism with 4 legs, otherwise called the Al-Misk, and that he touched upon the resemblance between the ape and humans. The review paper goes on to elaborate that it is uncertain whether he and his Islamic counterparts were referencing the tailless monkey known as a Barbary ape or an actual ape, but either way, I'm just going to highlight that you can see to some extent the same discussions of evolution and common ancestors commonly discussed in the context of later centuries. The second scholar I'm going to expand on in this episode is a student of Al-Jahiz and is the same individual who caught my eye when I first started researching this topic. Ibn Khaldun. Ibn Khaldun lived between 1332 and 1406 and was based in North Africa. His best-known scholarly contribution is a work of history called the Muqaddima, which also delves into many other branches of academia, like the economy. There's probably way more that could be said about the Muqaddima and its non-biological contributions to academia, but I've purposefully not gone into too much depth researching these to avoid being sidetracked. However, in chapter 1 of the work, Ibn Khaldun delves into the topic of evolution. More specifically, he wrote that mineral forms slowly became plant and animal life. In this worldview, the final link in the chain which could be considered a mineral was linked to the earliest which can be considered a plant. Similarly, the final step in plant life was linked to animals, in whose earliest stage Ibn Khaldun included the snail. From there, the animal kingdom diversified and slowly gave rise to humans. Here, Ibn Khaldun explicitly stated that to get to humans, you have to go through the monkey. He noted that monkeys are able to perceive the world around them and have some intelligence, but cannot think and reflect on their actions in the way humans can. In the context of a group of academics living centuries before Ibn Khaldun, the minerals became plants became animals idea has been explicitly compared with the great chain of being created by Aristotle and thinkers like him. Although the review didn't openly draw the connection between this concept and that of Khaldun, it could also apply here. What surprised me about all this was that Ibn Khaldun's Muqaddimah was written in 1377. For some historical context, this is only 30 years after the Black Death erupted onto the world stage in 1347, and still over a century until Columbus would arrive in the Americas. Charles Darwin himself wouldn't publish a book discussing human evolution from apes until 1871, nearly 500 years after Ibn Khaldun wrote the Muqaddimah, and nearly 1100 years after Al-Jahiz was born. In this episode, I focused on two thinkers specifically, which is largely for time purposes. However, there is definitely more to explore here, and it is a topic we may well return to. Either way, I thought it would be an interesting window into a branch of historical scientific thought and the theories of historical individuals that I at least wasn't really aware of before. So, that's it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or topic suggestions for future episodes, you can reach out via the show's email address. Until next time, have a great week, everyone.